bless you today. You may be seated. We thank God as we continue in this great meeting on today. I've been waiting for it. Looks like I was just rushing to get here today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. We want to sing an old spiritual today that we used to sing way back when I was coming up. I believe, give me the key of F. And while we open our Bibles to the 5th chapter of Isaiah, we're going to begin to read there today for our scripture, enhancement and growth in Christ Jesus, that our faith in God would increase. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Do y'all remember that Negro spiritual? I know some of the older ones do. Let's sing it again so the younger ones can catch it. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hill, and everywhere. Go tell it. Tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. He made me a watchman upon the city wall. And if I am a Christian, I am the least of all. A few of the scriptures with you today, starting with Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, and we just want to take an analytical, detailed report here, reading this report to you, and as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the presence of Co-Pastor Miles and all our clergy staff, and all of our members, and all of the friends, and everybody that's assembled here, in this wonderful service, the choir has been singing melodiously. And we thank God, amen, for all that have gone forth. And I'm sure, amen, God is smiling upon you as a result of you exercising the abilities and the giftings and the calling that God had placed in your life, amen, through his son, Jesus Christ. Isaiah said as he penned, who had believed our report, the first verse of the 53rd chapter, and to whom the Lord, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He had no form comeliness, and when we see him, and we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire of him. Isaiah was giving a prophetic utterance concerning the Messiah that God was going to send. And he penned this, but it was over 700 years before it came to pass. But we want you to note some things that have transpired before God had brought it to pass. He says, who had believed our report, in whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He had no form nor comeliness, and we shall see him. There is no beauty that we should desire of him. He was saying concerning the Messiah, there was nothing beautiful about him, nor majestic about his appearance. and nothing would attract us to him. Christ was the root out of dry ground. This means that at the time of the birth of Christ, the family of David would have been cut off from the kingship. And there were no longer princes, they were all peasants. The nation Israel was under the iron heel of Rome. They were not free. The Roman Empire produced no great civilization. They merely were good imitators of a great civilization. There were insignificant achievements and short-lived pursuit cultural among them. At least that means they pretended to be what they were not. The moral foundation was gone. A strong manhood and virtuous woman was supplanted by living in the gutter and pleasure-loving citizenry. The religion of Israel had gone to seed. They merely performed an empty ritual, and their hearts remained cold and indifferent. As Paul had said, you can look with me in Romans 9:27. He spoke concerning Israel in this debased condition that they were in, despicable. He said, Romans 9:27, Esaias also cried concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. Esaias said before, except the Lord of Sabbath had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and Gomorrah, like unto them. This was the kind of situation that Israel was in, God's chosen people, before the birth of Christ. His noble family was cut off from the nation, and they had become slaves to Rome in the day and an age of discontent, meaning they have become like overripened fruit. And they were like a rotten egg. Over 400 years, God didn't say anything to them doing that. And if you had ever seen overripened fruit, it ferments. And if you ever seen or smelled a rotten egg, you don't need no more explanation. You won't ever forget it. The loveliest flower of humanity at least, came from the driest point in a period of world's history. It was humanly impossible for this day and his generation to produce him, but Jesus came nevertheless, and he came from God. Galatians 4:4 says concerning the time when Jesus was born, and it looked completely impossible for a Messiah to come to such a debased group of people. Galatians 4:4 says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, and made under the law. God didn't say anything to Israel over 400 years. Going back to the scriptures in Luke, the first chapter, we find a report. God spoke there the sixth month, the angel Gabriel. St. Luke 1:26 was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, and of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at the saying, and cast her mind, what man in her mind, what manner of sagittation this should be. Can you picture Mary as being a lonely woman? Because it was popular in her day for the women to sell themselves to the Roman soldiers. And she wasn't doing that, so she was an outcast among the rest of the women. But here come an angel saying, hey man, you're a special woman here. The angel said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled and cast out this, thinking, what is he saying? An angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou hast conceived, thou shalt at least conceive in thy womb. Bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Now remember, the kingship of David had diminished because of the apostate condition of Solomon. And God did not let them go into ruins until after the death of Solomon for his servant David's sake, because Solomon had strayed and left God. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this thing be, seeing that I know no man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she had also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, whom was barren. But for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel parted from her. Look at Matthew's, the first chapter, in the 18th verse. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child before they had any personal relationship. It was discovered that she was pregnant, but the child was of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. He didn't want to expose Mary, but he was trying to think of a way how to just get out of this before the wedding. When one was espoused in those biblical days, it was as if they were married, and they kept faithful to one another until the marriage, after the marriage ceremony. But it was discovered, here's Mary's pregnant. So then Joseph, her husband, while he thought on these things at the 20th verse, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And now all of this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Then we go to Luke 2. As you turn there, we're seeing the man being obedient to the angel that spoke. Mary had submitted herself to the will of God, but it placed her in a peculiar position, also Joseph, because they had been mindful of the people. It would have looked as if Joseph was being a fool and that Mary was not facing reality. They just knew that she had to have gone with a man somewhere and at some time to get pregnant. She just not going to get pregnant without a man. And then Joseph going to marry her, and she's pregnant. He hadn't touched her. Hey, Joseph, the elevator is stuck between the floors. Then Luke, the second chapter, and the first verse says, and it came to pass in those days that went out a decree from Caesar Augusta that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child, being pregnant. And so it was that while they were there, the days was accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room in the inn for them. Look at the 8th verse. And there in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. They hadn't had any supernatural occurrence in over 400 years, and yet here's something transpiring while they are watching the sheep. And here they see the angel of the Lord saying unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David house a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord had made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which was told them by the shepherd. The shepherd were the most lowest class of people among the Israelites because they stayed outdoors and kept the sheep, and Israel was debased, but then they had nerve enough to look down on the shepherds. But God reached and touched them first and let them see what he had done, called them, told them where to find the Christ child. He started low to work his way up. Hallelujah. A lot of times we want to be elevated, but we want to start to the top and work our way up. But we have to start at the bottom. and work our way up. And it shows that God is concerned about you, in regards to where you are in life. Okay, although you're fallen, God is yet concerned about you. You could be rejected by everybody, but yet God is concerned about you. Somebody says, thank you, Lord. The 19th verse says, but Mary kept all these things, pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. And it was told unto them, Mary pondered these things. But yet and still it was a danger there because of King Herod wanted to kill him. Are y'all hearing me here? But we go there to the 21st verse, St. Luke 2:21. And when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was named of the angel before he was conceived. And when the day of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And it says, now, after that, as it was written in the law of the Lord, every male that opened the womb shall be holy to the Lord, and to offer sacrifices according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, two turtle doves and two young pigeons. During the time of the law of Moses, at least, when a woman would give birth to a child, she was considered unclean after the birth of the child 40 days, according to the Mosaic law. So then Mary, as a sinner, had to bring a sacrifice unto the Lord because she needed a savior as well. But now Mary and Joseph offered turtle doves for the sacrifice. And this is evidence of their poverty. They were to bring a lamb. They couldn't afford it. So they bought turtle doves. So then after a while, we'll go to Matthew 2 with me. And we are going to see, here come some men, wise men coming, as we consider the scriptures. Matthew 2:1 says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. It didn't say it was three wise men. It just said wise men, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, because they hadn't heard anything from God. They haven't heard any prophets for over 400 years, and here come strangers coming and telling them that a king had been born among them. The fourth verse says, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Then they went and looked it up, and they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him. It says at the 9th verse, and when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. 11th verse says, and when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with his mother, with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, this is an indication that years had transpired before they got to Jesus. He was a child. But yet when they saw him, they worshiped him and presented gifts, frankincense and myrrh and gold. Isn't it astounding how Isaiah had penned and said nothing would be beautiful about him or majestic? Nothing will attract us to him. And he would just be so rejected, so calmly, so ugly. But yet these wise men had been inspired by the stars, supernatural star that shined and showed them the way. So when they came in the presence of the child, they just saw he was a king, because the star had said a king had been born. So they didn't exchange gifts with one another, but they presented gifts unto the king, and they worshiped the king that was still a child. Are y'all hearing me here? Hallelujah. And it says at the 13th verse, when they departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, that thou be there until I bring thee word, for Herod seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the child by night, and he departed and went into Egypt. So Herod sent out a decree and began to kill all male children from the years 2 years and under, that he might get the right child that was born king. But there it is again, in the fullness of time. We can have faith in the word of God, and whatever he says, I don't care how impossible he looked, it looks, at least if he spoke it, he that controls all things can make it be exactly just like he said. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 15th verse says, and there unto the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, stay there in Egypt, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, out of Egypt I have called my son. Now the prophetic utterance of this is Hosea, the 11th chapter and the first verse. When Israel was a child, then I beloved him and called my son out of Egypt. Now this has a historical account as well. Back in Exodus, the 4th chapter, the 22nd and the 23rd verse, God told Moses to say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And thou refuse to let him go. Behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. So the first call out of Egypt was the chosen people of God. And they were called God's son, a nation. But now, but yet later, the prophet had seen it's going to happen again. Hosea had penned and said, God is going to call his son out of Egypt. He's not a nation this time, but it's one individual. Hallelujah, the child of God. Hallelujah. So we know that Harold died and Joseph and Mary moved back. And Jesus grew up there in Nazareth in Galilee, in that area, in that section at least of the cities of the town. And during his stay there, and he had chosen his disciples, the people or the religious folks, they were always in question of him. And I thought that when it says in the parable that Jesus said, let the wheat and the tares grow together, God will do the separating. He's going to send the angel, because if we try to snatch the tares from among the wheat, we would make a mistake, because they all look alike. And when he explained the parable, he said he was talking about the world, about the world. And I couldn't grasp how the world was going to be looking like the church, the wheat. But then when you began to look at, I was thinking the world would be those that don't have a job and stand on the street corner with a wine bottle that they all would drink out of, just pass it from one to the other until they drink it all up. And then they squeeze the bottle to get that last drop out of it. That was the world. But the world that will look like the religious or like the saved are those that are among the religious that's professing to be of God. And you can't separate them. You can't tell them from the true Christians, the wheat and the tares, but leave them alone. God has a separating day. Somebody said, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah to God. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. And Jesus encountered the world through his ministry, throughout his ministry. And they were religious. And they were called religious figures of the Pharisees, scribes, and the Sadducees. And people looked at them as being highly religious. But Jesus revealed the intent of their hearts. And they were constantly against him. Isn't it amazing how those kings came from the east and could recognize that Jesus was the king, even though he was still a child? And they worshiped and presented gifts unto him. But yet the religious folks contended with Jesus all the time. Look at Mark, the 7th chapter. Jesus' disciples ate with unwashed hand, and the religious people jumped on him. Say, your disciples are not washing their hands like the tradition of the elders. Oh, they're not doing what the elders had prescribed. In Mark, the 7th chapter, and the 6th verse, and he answered and said unto them, well had Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites, as it was written, the people honored me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. How be it in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandment of men, and laying aside the commandment of God, that ye hold the tradition of men as of washing of a pot and of the cup, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, fool ye well, ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. They were busy doing what they had formulated what the law of Moses meant. They kept going down and losing because they kept being attracted to other gods, and they were not true to the God of Israel, to the God that had delivered them out of bondage and had fed them manna from heaven, gave them water out of a rock. They would rather worship and serve something else, a God that they knew nothing of, but the other people were doing it. Hallelujah to God. He says at the 13th verse, Mark 7:13, making the word of God have little or none effect through your tradition which you have delivered, and many such like things ye do. They would keep up with what man had said. They were always trying to fit in with man to the fact that they would lose out with God. And I looked and said, Lord, be merciful. Be merciful. Have mercy. It's so easy to slip into that mold and put other things before God, because it comes in through the lust of our flesh, through the pride of life. Are y'all hearing me here? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And it's so easily to be pulled out and pulled into trying to kill and outdo one another, but yet appeared religious. Yet appeared religious. Did y'all hear me? They were yet praying on the street corners. They were yet going to the synagogue. But in their hearts, they were always against one another. Are y'all hearing me here? Look at Luke, the 16th chapter, and it says at the 14th verse, and the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard these things and deride him. They scoffed at Jesus. And Jesus said unto them, ye are they which justify yourself before men, but God knoweth your heart. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Sometimes, as illustration, people get involved in over-indebtedness, want to keep up with this Christmas to fit in with the crowd. And then they work 2 and 3 jobs trying to pay that debt. And once, eventually, when they get it paid, they can't enjoy the other Christmases because their body is broke down for overworking. Now, y'all hear me? It's so easy to slip off in that mold. Solomon went off into that mold. God had said, I will make you rich, because you didn't ask for the death of your enemy. I will make you rich. You wanted wisdom to lead the people. I will grant you wisdom, and I'll grant you riches, because you never ask. But Solomon wanted riches until he broke the law of Moses. For Moses had, God had given a law for the kings to follow when they become kings of Israel. God had already let Moses see that Israel would want to be like other nations, so give them instructions on how they should be. Then as they follow the instruction, I'll be with them. And so he had the instruction. Moses said, don't go back into Egypt. Don't marry wives outside of the Israelites. What Solomon do? Went back into Egypt. The Moses law said, don't multiply horses. Solomon multiplied horses. He married women, 700 wives, 300 concubines, to get treasures from their father. And he got riches and riches and riches. And he worked and he enjoyed himself while he could. But yet while he was a young man, he had an awakening. He had lived such a riotous life until his body was broken physically. His nerves was bad. He couldn't climb the steps and look at the orchards that he had planted for miles and miles. He couldn't look at the beautiful gardens. He couldn't enjoy life. He couldn't even eat simple foods, but yet he had food, he had money, but he couldn't buy it. And guess what Solomon said in the midst of it all? As he was sick, I discovered it was vanity and vexation of spirit. Nothing but vanity. He followed after vanity. And God would not let Israel be divided during the day of Solomon, all because of David. But when Solomon died, God divided the kingdom. Rehoboam kept two tribes, and he gave 10 of the tribes to Jeroboam. I was looking and thinking on these scriptures the more, and I looked at it, how our lives could be so much better if we could just get in tune to let God be God and do what he says. Oh, I don't know if you hear me, but there is a place in God that if he spoke it, he will surely bring it to pass. When you look at Israel as a whole, you will say, thought he had said that the throne of David would be established forever. And here the royal seed has become peasants like everyone else. But he had two that was holding on. Y'all hear me? All it takes is just a remnant. Mary and Joseph, the least expected. They were in poverty, just like everybody else. But yet they held on to God and wouldn't react like everybody else. See, if you will live for God, it's going to bring about a separation. You're going to make a difference. It's going to bring about a difference. Aren't y'all hearing me? Because he had chosen you to show the unsaved world that he has power to deliver. Are y'all hearing me here? And all hope was gone, but yet the two out of 400, God dispersed an angel to talk to them. Then he had some more that was noble. Amen. He had Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother, and her husband, Zechariah. They held on to the faith. Then he had two more, Simeon and Anna. They held on to the faith. They weren't like everybody else. They stayed in the temple. Are y'all hearing me? For the constellation of the hope, looking for the Messiah to come. And when Simeon saw Mary come in with the baby, he said, oh, here's the constellation of Israel. And he had asked God to let him live until he see the Messiah. Are y'all hearing me here? So he kept the confidence. Nothing is impossible with God. I thought I'd say, if today, from the occurrence of events, when they walked in and saw the child with his mother, I believe it was somewhere he had changed or he got a second birthday. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? But yet they worshiped him and they presented him gifts. What the tradition of men tells us, during Christ's birthday, we give gifts to one another. That a wise man, not even religious, but they knew how to respect a king.
Bless you today. I praise the Lord for this opportunity. that we are visiting each other again by the way of radio. God, by his amazing grace, the unmerited favor, has kept death from slaying us and has prevented hurt, harm, or distractions from keeping us from hearing this broadcast. And I thank God for the many of lives that the lives are being touched and changed. You're making up your mind to live free of the tradition of men and to follow the scriptures and live that way. Because when we follow the tradition of men, it always carries bad results at the end of it. The Bible had said in the Word of God, it says there in Luke 7:13, Jesus told the people that was keeping the tradition of men to make a word of God have little or no effect through their traditions. And he also said to them in Luke 16:25, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. But God knoweth the heart, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. So those words are sharply, but yet they are true. The whole world go out after Christmas. You know something is wrong with that. The world is contrary to God. The world hates the people of God. But yet and still, we are going out following after the world. It used to be difficult to understand how Constantine could bring in those religious figures and give them Christians' name, and we just thought it was so sacred. But God had allowed us to be born in this dispensation of grace in the year of 2000 and 1900s, that we can see how it could easily be done. Just recently, we began to bring in Halloween. And we know what Halloween represents and all what it's about. Can you imagine if the church is not raptured within the next 100 years, next few years, that Halloween would be a part of the worship of the church? So we need to pay attention. Watch carefully. That's what Israel had done. They had brought in the paganistic practices to call themselves serving God. And it led them from one degree of debasement to another. Isn't it amazing how we could see the tradition of men during that time? Are we saying Christ's birthday? But following the customs thousands of years before Christ was born, as they worshiped Baal. Murder increased, robbing and stealing increased, depression increased, but a lot of overeating and getting drunk and illicit sex go on. Lovers fall out. They discover one had another girlfriend or boyfriend and pay more money for that gift of the others than they did for theirs. And some didn't even buy a gift. They fall out. Well, is this the way that the scriptures teach us concerning Christ being born? Something is wrong with that picture, isn't it? Because St. Luke 2, verses 17 and 18 says that when it was made known abroad to the shepherds concerning the child, that they went and spread the news that they had heard, the good news that the Messiah is born. He's wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying there in the manger. Then in Matthew, the second chapter, when the king that came from the east saw the star, and they followed the star, and it led them to Bethlehem. And when they got to the house, they found Mary and Jesus in the house, and they worshiped the child and presented gifts unto the child, not to one another, but they gave Jesus, the King of Kings, yet a little child, but they were convinced that he was a king because the star had supernaturally led them to that house, and they presented gifts unto him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Oh, what a lesson for us today. We need to follow the word of God if you want to. But some are making up their mind now to come out of the tradition of men and almost leave you bankrupt. In some instances, some do. Go bankrupt, chapter 13, 1 team, and 9 team, whatever team that is. All just keeping up with the tradition of men. Oh, but if we just follow the Lord and let Him be first in our lives, we will find such a transformation that frees us from the fleshly tradition of men and bring us into a right relationship with God, where every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. So God bless you. We want you to come out and worship with us. The little ministry with the mega ministry outreach that's located at the St. John's Deliverance Temple at 2621 Ralston Road. And we have service on Monday night, talent night. Wednesday night is Bible class. Friday night is prayer and anointing. And Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. So come on and share with us in the services. And be blessed along with us at the move of God. Take place, setting the captives free. Lifting and strengthening the weak and lifting those who are down. And saving souls with the call on Jesus within the heart and the mind. And believe the gospel. Well, God had delivered us from the weak and beggarly elements of the world. Don't go back and get re-entangled in it because of men, tradition, or because of persecution. Your being different from the world is automatically going to draw fire on your job, in your home a lot of times, in your community because you were different. For the world do not understand those who walk and live by faith. We have a different eyesight. We're busy looking at things that cannot be seen because we know that they are eternal. And the things which are seen, they are temporal. They're going to pass away. Everything in this world that we can see will change because it's corruptible. So keep that in mind. Let's not get over-engrossed over anything that we can see because it will change. And even though we can keep it a lifetime, and when we die, it might not mean anything to anyone else, and they'll throw it right in the trash. So watch it. Let nothing separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus, and let nothing cause you to turn away from God and to follow other methods of finding recreation other than the pleasures of the Lord and following the leading of the Holy Spirit. And be blessed even more. So God bless you real good. Real good. And we want you to come and join us in the watch night service, which will be held Monday night starting at 10:30. And you're looking forward. We're looking forward for you to join us. And those of you who have not been in those services, you know that this is a time to start something new in the year of 2013. Worshiping God at the St. John's Deliverance Temple. The little ministry with the mega ministry outreach. And visit our website. There's a lot of events there that you can see and you can experience. Shop in our store. Visit our radio archives. And visit the various things that we have there to offer at the Cleveland Smith Ministry. www.clevelandsmithministries.com. God bless you. And I praise God for those of you who are standing with us in your prayers and in your finances. We need more contributors to expand the knowledge that God is imparting upon us and through us. And He's speaking to many of you to do so this year and the upcoming year of 2013. Do so, and you will not regret it. God will surely bring it to pass. So God bless you. God keep you. That's my prayer. And we'll meet again next week.
Amazing grace. Yes, sir. Thank you. was down. Dead Sea. There.